Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
They say Vermont is beautiful in the fall, the crisp air, the changing leaves, the cozy covered bridges. But not all of those bridges are meant for postcards. Some of them are meant for ghosts. Nestled quietly in the backwoods of Stowe sits the gold brook-covered bridge. To most, it's just a charming relic from the 1800s. To others, it's the very edge of the supernatural. Locals call it Emily's Bridge, named after a girl who, legend says, has met a tragic end here, her heartbreak echoing through time. But here's the thing. No one can prove Emily even existed. Still, the stories persist. Deep scratches clawed into car doors, phantom screams in the dead of night, and the unmistakable feeling that you're not alone when you cross that creaking span. Some visitors say they've been shoved, others hear whispers in the dark. Paranormal groups have brought in recorders, thermals, and EMF meters, and they all leave with more questions than answers. Is Emily a heartbroken soul forever trapped on this narrow stretch of wood and shadow? Or is it all just a campfire tale that got out of control, fueled by darkness, fear, and imagination? Tonight, we're not just walking across that bridge. We're diving straight into the heart of its mystery. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. In the quiet hills of Stowe, Vermont, tucked just off Gold Brook Road, stands a modest wooden structure that at first glance seems frozen in time. The Gold Brook-covered bridge, its weathered boards arched gently over the flowing water below, has carried the weight of carriages, cars, and countless local footsteps since 1844. It was built using the Howe truss design, a marvel of 19th-century ingenuity that emphasized both beauty and function. But while it was engineered to last through snowstorms and springs, no one could have predicted that it might also become a passageway for something far more chilling. Stowe is the kind of place people go to escape the bustle of modern life, ski resorts, winding back roads, rustic charm at every turn. But for decades now, the Gold Brook Bridge has quietly slipped from being a historical relic into a haunted legend, and at the center of it all is a name whispered through generations, Emily. Ask 10 locals and you might get 10 different versions of her story. But they all agree on one thing, something happened on that bridge. The most common telling goes like this. Sometime in the 1800s, a young woman named Emily was preparing to elope with her lover. Depending on who you ask, she was either from a poor family dreaming of a better life or a scorned woman abandoned by a man above her station. The couple was supposed to meet on the bridge under cover of night and begin a new life together. Only he never showed. Some say Emily waited in the cold, her heart breaking with every tick of the clock. Others claim she saw his carriage ride past with someone else inside. In the end, she couldn't bear the humiliation or the loss. The stories diverge again. Some say she hanged herself from a rafter. Others insist she leapt into the brook below. A few even whisper that she jumped in front of a passing horse-drawn carriage. But here's where things start to unravel. Despite all the emotional pull of Emily's tale, there's no record, no town ledger, obituary, or newspaper article of a woman named Emily dying on or near the bridge. No police report, no family name, no confirmed suicide. It's a ghost story without a paper trail, which in the world of folklore often means the myth took root long after the supposed event. That hasn't stopped the legends from flourishing. Beginning in the 1960s, visitors began reporting strange happenings on the bridge. One of the earliest recorded accounts came from a local high schooler who claimed that late at night, she heard footsteps trailing behind her, though she was alone. When she turned around, no one was there. These kinds of reports increased in the 1970s, mostly from teenagers visiting after dark, drawn by dares or the thrill of the unknown. The types of experiences were oddly consistent. Sounds of footsteps, scraping noises on the side of vehicles, disembodied female voices. One group in the late 70s described seeing a faint white figure hovering above the brook. A few even claimed that their cars were scratched after they crossed the bridge, a strange, claw-like marking etched into the paint. As these reports gained traction, paranormal groups took interest. And so did a man named Joseph A. Citro, an author and folklorist best known for chronicling the haunted lore of New England. In his works, Citro includes the tale of Emily's Bridge as one of Vermont's most infamous hauntings. He didn't confirm the story's details, far from it, but he captured the widespread belief, giving it literary permanence. By the 1990s, amateur ghost hunting teams were making nighttime visits to the bridge, often with recording equipment in hand. Some walked away claiming they'd heard whispers through their EVPs. Others described battery drainage and electronic malfunctions. None could point to concrete proof, but all had stories to tell. But let's take a step back. It's easy to get swept up in the chilling details, the eerie scratches, and the tragic romance. But when you remove the legend, what remains? A small, darkened wooden bridge in the middle of a quiet, forested area, isolated, echo-prone, and cloaked in thick trees that rustle in the wind. Several psychological and environmental explanations have been put forward over the years to explain the sensations people report. One theory centers around expectation bias, the idea that when we believe we're entering a haunted space, our minds become primed to interpret normal stimuli as paranormal. That creak? A ghostly whisper. That bump? A phantom shove. Others point to the acoustics of the bridge itself. Being a covered bridge, the sound of footsteps, voices, and even the wind can echo and bounce in strange ways. Add that to the natural creaking of the aging wood, and it's no surprise that visitors report sounds they can't place. Then there's the issue of wildlife. The area around Goldbrook is home to small mammals, raccoons, squirrels, even the occasional fox. They move through the underbrush at night, rustling leaves and snapping twigs, and their sounds, especially to a nervous visitor, can be unnerving. There's also the ideomotor effect, the same psychological principle that explains Ouija board movement. When people expect or fear something will happen, their bodies respond in subtle, unconscious ways. A tap on the shoulder. A gust of wind that wasn't there. Even shared hysteria among a group of friends can escalate a relatively calm situation into a collective panic. Despite these rational explanations, the legend of Emily persists and evolves. In modern times, visitors leave offerings for her, flowers, notes, even handmade trinkets. The bridge has become a place of emotional release for some, especially teens and young adults who feel a connection to the story of heartbreak and betrayal. Whether they believe in ghosts or not, Emily has become a symbol of love gone wrong, of trust shattered, of sorrow that echoes across centuries. Still, there's no getting around one simple truth. No historical record supports the idea that Emily, or anyone like her, died on or near the bridge. Which leaves us with a question that haunts more than just the woods around Stowe. Is it possible to create a ghost story so strong that it becomes real in the minds of those who believe? Some say yes. That belief is a powerful tool that when enough people tell a story, it gains traction in the subconscious. And sometimes in the dark corners of the real world. And so we've crossed the first half of the bridge, both literally and metaphorically. We've met Emily, or at least the shadow of her story. We've explored the reports, the doubt, the belief, and the possibility of something more. As the years passed and word of Emily's Bridge spread, what began as whispered stories among locals turned into something much more potent, a destination for the curious, the skeptical, and the downright terrified. It wasn't just about odd sounds anymore. Visitors began reporting physical phenomena. Some swore their cars stalled on the bridge with no mechanical reason. Others claimed their headlights dimmed or shut off entirely when driving through, only to flicker back on once they'd reached the far side. Drivers said they felt an unseen force shake the vehicle or heard sharp rapping on their car doors as they sat frozen in the dark. One of the most persistent claims? Scratches. These weren't random dings or brushes with overgrown branches. Witnesses described deep, deliberate gashes, claw-like marks, on their car doors and roofs always after crossing the bridge late at night. The stories shared a strange consistency. The marks weren't there before, they couldn't be wiped off, and they didn't match any natural causes. And then there were the personal encounters, those that crossed the line from creepy to something far more disturbing. Take the case of a Stowe High School student in the late 1980s. She and a group of friends had gone to the bridge on a dare. They parked, shut off the engine, and waited. At first, it was quiet. Then came a faint sobbing, soft and slow, like it was drifting in from the trees. The group laughed nervously, assuming someone was playing a trick. But when the girl got out of the car, she screamed. Long red scratches, thin but deep, ran down her back, visible even through her shirt. She hadn't leaned on anything. No one had touched her, but the marks were real and they stung for days. In the early 2000s, a couple from out of state visited after hearing about the legend. They drove through the bridge near midnight, expecting a spooky story to tell their friends. Halfway through, the car shook violently, so much so that the driver thought they'd hit something. They got out and checked. Nothing in the road, no animals, no visible cause, but the passenger insisted she saw something, a figure, fleeting and pale, darting past the window. Other visitors claimed to have been touched, pushed, or even scratched, especially women visiting alone. One woman recounted how she was walking the bridge by herself just after dusk when she felt fingers run lightly down her arm. She turned expecting to see someone, but she was alone. Another described being shoved so hard she dropped her flashlight, and when she scrambled to find it, the batteries had been removed. These stories have led to dozens of paranormal investigations over the years. Groups like Vermont Paranormal and Northeastern Spirit Trackers have made several unofficial trips to the bridge. Armed with EMF meters, thermal cameras, and digital recorders, they've attempted to capture evidence of Emily's presence. While nothing has ever been definitively proven, the investigators themselves report strange occurrences. Sudden temperature drops, disembodied female voices caught on EVP, unexplained battery drains, and equipment failures mid-session. One group described an encounter where a team member became overwhelmed with emotion, crying uncontrollably during a recording session. When they reviewed the audio, a whisper could be heard overlapping her voice, "Get out!" Another team claimed they watched a flashlight flick on and off in response to yes or no questions, specifically when they asked if someone named Emily was with them. Still, skeptics remain unconvinced. As is often the case with paranormal investigations, the evidence is anecdotal, subjective, or prone to interpretation. EMF spikes can result from buried electrical lines. EVP recordings can be distorted by wind, insects, or even interference from radio frequencies. And those who believe in Emily may be more likely to interpret the ordinary as extraordinary. But belief, it seems, is part of the haunting itself. Over time, the bridge has transformed into a place of ritual. Visitors don't just come to watch, they come to participate. People leave flowers, candles, poems, and handmade charms on the bridge's railings. Some call out to Emily, apologizing for what happened to her. Others demand a sign or challenge her to appear. There are even reports of seances and occult rituals performed beneath the bridge in the dead of night. This cultural phenomenon hasn't come without backlash. Local residents have grown weary of late-night thrill-seekers, vandalism, and traffic blocking the narrow road. Police have been called numerous times over noise complaints, trespassing, and illegal parking. And yet, even with the added scrutiny, the legend of Emily only grows stronger. But what is Emily's Bridge, really? Some paranormal researchers believe it's an example of a residual haunting. An emotional event so powerful that it imprints itself on the environment, replaying like a broken record. In this theory, Emily isn't a conscious spirit, but a loop of energy reacting to similar triggers, nightfall, loneliness, the presence of women, or emotional vulnerability. Others lean toward the intelligent, haunting model, where the spirit is aware, reactive, and sometimes aggressive. They cite the scratches, the physical touches, and the seemingly targeted nature of the encounters, especially those involving female visitors, as signs of an entity capable of intent. But perhaps the most compelling theory is also the most unsettling, that Emily never existed at all, but we created her anyway. Folklorists argue that Emily is a fabricated ghost story born out of New England's rich storytelling culture and the perfect setting, an old bridge, dark woods, a tragic narrative, and the universal theme of heartbreak. Once the story took hold through books, oral tradition, and the internet, people began arriving with expectations. Once the expectation was set, the experiences followed. This is known as a tulpa, a concept in Tibetan mysticism where strong belief or concentration can bring something into existence. Could Emily be a ghost born not of death, but of belief? A manifestation of collective energy, fear, and storytelling? It's not as far-fetched as it sounds. There are documented experiments, like the Philip experiment in 1970s Canada, where paranormal investigators created a fictional ghost and eventually began receiving responses to their séance questions. If a group of people can manifest phenomena around a made-up spirit, what happens when hundreds of people visit a bridge for decades, pouring emotion into a name and a legend? Maybe Emily doesn't need to be real in order to exist. In the end, that might be the most haunting thing about the Goldbrook Bridge. Not the scratches, not the voices, not even the shadows that dart between trees on windless nights. It's that we've told this story for so long, with such conviction, that the story itself has become real, etched into the boards and beams, wrapped around the iron bolts and echoing endlessly across Goldbrook. So the next time you find yourself driving through Vermont and you see that quiet wooden structure nestled between the trees, ask yourself this: do you believe in ghosts? Because Emily might be waiting to find out. So, what did we just experience? A tragic ghost story without a death certificate. A bridge that's more than just a way to cross a brook. It's a portal into our collective need for answers. Maybe a place to project our own fears, regrets, or heartbreak. The tale of Emily's Bridge is both a mystery and a mirror. It reflects our love for legends, our comfort in a narrative that ties up loose ends, and our willingness to let fear fill in the blanks when facts run dry. There's no confirmed Emily, no obituary, no historical record of a scorned lover leaping into the brook below. And yet, people still hear her. They hear screams where there should be silence. They feel claw marks etched across metal. They see shadows where logic says there should be none. Maybe it's mass suggestion. Maybe it's the mind, fueled by adrenaline and darkness, turning every gust of wind into a whisper from beyond. Or maybe, just maybe, there's something about certain places that hold on to emotion like wood soaks in rain. Even if Emily never existed in the flesh, she might now exist in energy, in belief, in the layers of ritual, memory, and terror that have been poured into that small, creaking bridge in the Vermont woods. If belief can shape perception, and perception feels real, then maybe a ghost doesn't need a grave. Maybe she just needs a good story. And Goldbrook Bridge, got one hell of a story. So whether you're a believer in the afterlife, a fan of folklore, or just someone who gets nervous when your car stalls in the dark, one thing's for sure, Emily's Bridge will be waiting. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.